Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. Really, to bring all of these things together, that to be where we are in our reading, we ought to go back two or three chapters and just read it, but we do not have the time to do that. When you come to chapter 27 of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul is making his journey to Rome. He has appealed to Rome. He has been falsely accused, and he appeals to Caesar. He being a Roman citizen, he had that right, and that protected him so very much in his earthly, in his ministry here in this world, that he had certain privileges, certain rights as a Roman citizen, because Rome was, of course, the empire that ruled the world, and they had a system of justice that was much better than other places, and had a system of checks and balances that a person could do to make sure they were rightly charged, and if they were accused, they had certain things they could do. Even in chapter number 26, last verse, King Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Of course, we know the story as Paul has been arrested and he meets different ones. He talks to Festus. He talks to King Agrippa. King Agrippa was persuaded almost to be a Christian. Felix was the one that said that the Scripture says that he trembled when he heard the Word of God. Agrippa was almost persuaded, and so they had the message given to them. Paul was a very faithful preacher. It didn't matter if he was in the synagogue or if he's in the prison. It didn't matter where he was, he's always proclaiming the gospel. So now they've determined that they're going to send him to Rome, and he is going to go there to be once again tried. And he's on the last leg. He is a prisoner now. He'll never have personal freedom again because he is a prisoner. And they make their journey. Of course, it has to be by sailing. Chapter 27 talks about they were leaving, determined to go to Italy, and gives the details of where they were and some people that were with them. I noticed in reading in chapter 27, verse 2, there's a man by the name of Aristarchus, and he was a Macedonian of Thessalonica. We was talking about Thessalonica this morning in our Sunday school and the churches of Macedonia. So here's a man that's accompanying Paul on his journey, and he is given gives here his name. But they are having trouble sailing the sea, and the wind was not good for them. And so the Bible says in verse number 8, they came to a place they called the Fair Havens. And they says, "Nigh whereunto was the city of Larsa." Verse 9. "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and he said to them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain Phoenice and there to winter, which is the haven of Crete, lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. And the running under the certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by, the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In these verses this morning, we find the whole passage gives us dealing with a storm. And I don't know of anyone in this building that probably has not gone through multiple storms. It may not be the storm of sailing on the sea, and it may not be a boat that was tossed to and fro, but we have personal physical storms that come to us. Sometimes we have spiritual storms that arise in our heart, in our life. And I'm glad the Lord is always there to help and give guidance. The Apostle Paul told these men that he said, I perceive that we ought to, he really said, I think we ought to stay here, because if we don't, we're going to lose, we're going to have problems, we're going to have struggles. But the Bible says they would not believe him. They believed the master of the ship, and they wouldn't take what Paul had said, and so they take off, and sure enough, right in the midst of the travels, there's this storm comes up called Euroclydon. And Paul gives us a few of the details of what takes place during that period of time. Verse number 20 is the verse I want us to look at this morning, or at least to take our text verse from and title. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I want us to think this morning on the subject of when all hope is gone. When all hope is seemingly gone, there's nothing else that we can do. There's nothing else that we can perform. We've done all that there is that is humanly possible, and it just seems as though there's no escaping. There's no way of getting out. There's no way of surviving. There's no way of living. And I'm glad, thank God, He is there. And the Apostle Paul, he rubbed it in just a little bit to them. He said, Sirs, you should have listened to me. Well, Paul wasn't a mariner. He wasn't a man that knew the seas. He wasn't a man that knew the oceans and all the things that took place. And so the master, the owner of the ship, and the centurions and all those that had dealing with the ship, they decided it would be better to leave and not listen to Paul. Well, sure enough, everything that Paul said came to pass. And they were in a struggle. They was in trouble. And really and truly, they thought they was going to die. And they did all that they could do to save the ship. And all hope was gone. Verse number 20. This morning, I want us to think about that little phrase, all hope gone. I'm glad this morning for the child of God that there never comes a time when really all hope is gone. Because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It may seem hopeless, and some of the things that come our way sometimes become hopeless, and we cannot survive certain things. But you and I, as a believer, thank God we have hope, and that hope is always for us and always there. We look at this passage of Scripture, we find that they did everything that they could, and they came to the conclusion that all hope was gone. They had done all these things that we read about this morning. We'll look at them once again. And they realized that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They were sure they were going to die there in the midst of that storm. They had used all the energy that they had to secure the ship. The Bible says here that they had much work come by the boat. Verse number 17 says, "Which when they were taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands." And they did everything. All their energy was performing duties that would make sure that ship would not get in the quicksand, not get into the shallow waters and be broken apart. They did everything humanly possible they could do, and their energy was toward that. Every hand on that ship was busy doing those things that were needed. The Bible says here that they lightened the ship, and they took everything that they thought they could not do without, and they just throwed it overboard because they were going down, and they was lightening the ship. They were trying to bring it up to be not as far under the water. And the Bible says they cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Everything that was loose, everything that was possibly could be thrown overboard was thrown overboard, and sun or moon shined many days. And they had done all that they knew to do. The third day they cast out the tackling of the ship, and no sun, no moon, and the tempest was upon them. It says, the Bible says here, no small tempest. That means they was in a storm. That means they were really being tossed to and fro, and the struggle was there, and everything they could possibly do had been done. And so they realized all hope that we would be saved was taken away. They were looking at a desperate need with no answer. They were looking at despair. They were looking at destruction. They were looking at death. And they had done all they could do, so therefore they said, it's over. The Bible says here, after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Now, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what Paul did. But I believe Paul was down in the hull of that ship getting hold of the Lord. I believe he was down there finding the will of God for his life, knowing what God had spoken to him about. And I believe Paul was assured in his heart that he was going to Rome and that God had given him that leave to go there. And so he goes, and after a long abstinence, and I believe that he was praying, Paul stood in the midst of them and he sort of eggs it on and sort of cuts them and says, "Sirs, you should have listened." He says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Paul said, "I know I'm just a preacher, but you should have listened." I'll tell you, the world today needs to listen to the preachers of the Word of God and the churches that will stand true, because we're in the midst of a storm. And I'll tell you what, all hope is gone that we'll ever be survivors if it's not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here Paul stands after he's been absent from them for a long time. They may have wondered where he was. They maybe thought he was a coward. Maybe they thought he was hiding somewhere. But after he was absent a long time, he comes and he says, "You should have listened. You should have hearkened unto my voice. And if you had, we wouldn't be in this mess like I told you we would be in." But he says, "I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now that doesn't seem like that fits there. All hope is gone, but be of good cheer. Everything's lost, everything's thrown overboard, and we're going to seemingly die. And Paul says, "Be of good cheer." And he tells them here, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship." The ship's going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed. But not a person's soul is going to be lost. So be of good cheer. I'll tell you what, when it comes down to life or things, we choose life. This past Wednesday night, a little strange occurrence happened here after church. About 10 o'clock, Sharon was outside on the front porch, and she comes running in the house. She said, "You've got to get your clothes on. You got to go down to church. Somebody's had a wreck." I heard the hit. I saw the lights going in a circle, and I know somebody is probably in bad trouble. So I get down here and hear these two boys come walking across the row. You can see where the corn's messed up out there. They come walking across the road, and one of them said, "Boy, Jesus is good." I'll tell you what, looking at that car, he knew Jesus was good. He's a former graduate here, graduated 2 or 3 years ago here. And he'd come across that hill too fast. He wouldn't tell me how fast. I said, "Well, I won't tell on you." But anyway, he came across too fast. He lost it up to the top of the hill, came down sideways, and flipped that thing 2 or 3 times and spun on the top. And that's what Sharon saw, was the lights going round and round. I'll tell you what, sometimes it looks like all hope is gone. But I'm glad the Lord is there to help us. He's there to show us and to direct us. And sometimes the storms come that we can't do anything about. Sometimes the storms come that we can't control at all. But Paul said, be of good cheer. Nobody's going to die, but the boat is going to be lost. And that boy got out of that car. He said, "Whoo, that can be replaced. I'm glad I'm walking." And the other boy, Will, said, "I'm glad we're walking too." He was the passenger. And they crawled out the side window and walked across the road. Didn't have a scratch on them. I mean, they were sore the next day, but they didn't have any cuts. They didn't have any anything noticeable. And I just thought when I come down across here, I saw that car. I thought somebody's probably throwed out. Somebody's dead. I don't know if I can handle this or not. Here they get out and say that Jesus is good. Well, He is good, isn't He? Praise the Lord. These folks on the ship, they did all they could do. Paul says here that everything was thrown overboard. Everything was cast to bring the ship up so it wouldn't hit the sand. But still wasn't enough. And Paul says, be of good cheer. Verse 23 says, "For stood by me this night the angel of God." You know who that was? I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ. "For there stood by me this night," right now, in the midst of all the struggles, he says, "the angel of God stood by me, whose I am and whom I serve." So this angel said, "Fear not, Paul." Well, thank God when the storms come, I'm glad the Lord can say, "Fear not." I'm glad the Lord can say, "Be of good cheer." I'm glad things can be okay on the inside when everything on the outside is falling apart, disintegrating, and troubles everywhere. I'm glad there's a still small voice that comes and says, "Fear not." I'm glad there's that voice that gives you encouragement and gives you help. "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar." There wasn't anything the devil could do. There wasn't anything people could do. There wasn't anything that was going to happen to prevent Paul from going to Rome, because the Lord said, "Thou must go before Caesar." So it was going to happen. No wonder Paul could say, "Be of good cheer." The Lord's done given him a green light. He said, "You're going to Rome. And you're going to go there. And everybody that's on the ship's going to be safe. Now the boat's going to disappear and it can be replaced." But lives are so very vital and so very important. So Paul says, "Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God." What a tremendous message, even in that one little passage there, "I believe God." That Paul was talking to these people that were on the ship and to those that were even prisoners on the ship. He was saying, "I believe God." I'm glad this morning that God stands in the storms. Wherever we are, whatever comes our way, whatever passes by our house and our home, I'm glad, thank God, He stands there in the midst of the storm. I think of in the Old Testament, Noah. He had built the ark just as God had told him to build. He'd made it so long, so wide, so high, and put the 3 stories in it and put the window and the door in it, just like God had told him to do. And then out from the ark comes this voice from the Lord that's found in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." You might not notice it just in passing and reading, but I believe God was standing there in the midst of what was going to be a storm, and He comforted Noah's heart, because the Bible says that he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Come into the ark." That meant the Lord was already in the ark. Come on in. Boy, thank God when the Lord is there, He says, it's okay. I thank the Lord when the time comes, He might come to us and say, come on in. There's safety here. There's protection here. And so the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all the house into the ark. You know why He could say come into the ark? Because He is already in the ark. And He was inviting Noah and his family to come in. He said, I've seen righteousness in your day, and I've seen the things of your life. And so Noah, come on in. The storm is coming. The rain is going to fall. And the fountains of the deep are going to break up. But come on into the ark. I'm in here with you. Just come on in. Praise the Lord. One day God told me to come on in to the ark of safety. He invited me to Himself and to trust Him and to believe upon Him. And whatever storm comes our way, thank God, I'm in the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that ark is a perfect picture of our Savior, the Lord. And so we find that God stands in the midst of the storm. He stands in the storm. Joshua stood before an enemy one time, and he saw a vision, and he wondered, what is this? In the book of Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, we see that God stood before the enemy. He stood before the storm in Joshua's life. Verse number 13, Joshua 5, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now that's an interesting thing. Joshua looks up and he sees a man with a sword that has been drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you going to fight for us or are you going to fight for our enemies? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, Moses is not the only one that's ever been told to take his shoes off. In the presence of the Lord, you take off that which is defiled by this world. And the shoes represent defilement of the earth. And he says, Joshua, loose your shoe off because where you stand is holy ground. God said, I'm going to fight your battle for you this day. Thank God there's been battles in my life and battles in your life that God would fight for us and God delivered us and God gave us victory. When we thought all hope was gone, praise the Lord, He was there. He's in the midst of the storm. He stands waiting for the storm to happen so He can control it, so He can handle it, so He can take care of it. There's a man with a withered hand in the book of Mark chapter 3. And the Lord told him, stand forth, go to where he was. And we know the story how the hand was brought back to original strength. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he's being stoned that day. And as he was about to die, he looked up and he saw the glory of God in Acts chapter 7. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Standing in the storm. Thank the Lord for His continual presence in our life. Thank the Lord for the continual presence of God, His dealing with us, His helping us, and following after us. There was three men in the book of Daniel chapter 3, three Hebrews, and they are cast into a fiery furnace. Well, Nebuchadnezzar comes out the next morning and said, did we not throw three into this furnace, and what is it? I see four. And the fourth is like unto the image of the Son of God. Well, I'm glad the Lord's in the midst of the storm. Whether it be a ship that's sinking, or whether it be a hand that's withered, or whether it be an army that's in battle, or whether it be as these being cast into the fire, I'm glad God is there. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter how desperate it seems. Doesn't matter how far down the road it is. Thank God He is in the midst. God speaks. Not only does He stand, but He speaks in the storm. Verse number 24, Paul says, this one said, fear not, Paul. Thank God for the time that we have the fear nots. The waves. There was a time in Mark chapter 4, that the waves and the storm was raging, the waves beat onto the ship, and the Bible says it was full. The ship was full. You know what the ship was full of? Full of the storm. And the Bible says Jesus is asleep in the hinder part. And they come to Him and say, Master, carest not that we perish? Well, sure the Lord cares. He could rest in the storm because He knew He could take care of the storm. And we can rest in the storm because we know God can handle the needs and the storms of our life. Now, sometimes we despair. Sometimes this human nature takes over and we begin to fear and tremble and we begin to give up and you begin to doubt. But thank God He's there to help us and to speak to us in the midst of the storm. The Bible says when they came, ask the question, do you not care? What a foolish question for the disciples to ask to the Lord. Do you not care? Carest thou not? The Bible says He arose and rebuked the wind. He should rebuke them. But He rebuked the storm. The Bible says, and said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. He speaks in the storm. All of a sudden, the Sea of Galilee is as a mirror. The storm that was beating against the ship, and the ship was full of the water. And they said, Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? And the Lord just rebuked the sea. He rebuked the wind. And the Bible says it became calm. In the midst of a storm, I'm glad He can give calmness. He can give a peace that passes all understanding. The Scripture tells us there's a peace that comes to you and I. And I've said so many times, only the child of God can cry the tears, have them running down our face, and our heart be rejoicing because we know the Lord has taken care of our storm. The world doesn't know that. The lost person doesn't realize that. They can't even fathom that. But I'm glad when we think all hope is gone, He says, come on in. It'll be all right. And He'll say, peace, be still. And the storm will calm. So He'll stand at the door. He'll speak to the storm. He'll strengthen us. Elijah, he was in the midst of a storm. Struggles were there and the ravens had to feed him. Wasn't any food. Drought was everywhere. Because he had already made the statement, not going to rain nor dew. Unless it's at my word. And God sent him, and the ravens fed him. Took him to the brook Cherith. That word Cherith just means a deep, deep gorge. Elijah's about as deep as you could go. He's about as low as you could get. And yet God sent him ravens. And the water went dry there at the brook because there was no rain. Things began to dry up and the raven stopped. And God sent him to a widow's place. And God delivered him right in the midst of a storm. The Apostle Paul had asked the Lord three times, oh dear God, remove this thorn in my flesh. We don't know what the thorn was. God doesn't tell us. There's a lot of supposition. There's a lot of supposing what it was. But we really do not know what the thorn that Paul had in his flesh that bothered him. But it was so bad and troubling that he asked the Lord three times, remove my storm. Remove the thorn. Oh, thank God the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. He may not remove it all. He may not take care of all of it as far as we're concerned. But He gives us grace to go through the storm. Praise God. The grace, not only that saves us, but the grace that sustains us. The grace that one day will carry us to heaven as we go to be with Him. So He strengthens us. And then lastly, I put here God situates the storm. He puts it just at the right place to get the best out of us. You see, some storms do come to help us. Not all storms are a rebuke of the Lord. Sometimes folks will say, I don't know what I've done to make God do this to me. You may have not done anything. God sometimes sends a storm to strengthen us and to make us know that He's on the throne. So He situates those things in our life that will help us to grow and mature and help us to be what we ought to be for Him. And Paul, here, as he was going to Rome, the Lord said, "Fear not. Don't worry about it." And it's a wonderful thing that the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, Paul." He used his name. Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but when you're dealing with people, if you become personal with them, you can get a whole lot more done. You can get a whole lot more accomplished if you call their name. That gets their attention. You know them. It may just be a name badge on somebody that's helping you do something at the store or somebody that's bringing your food to you at a table. And if you just call their name, it gets their attention because they realize that you've taken enough time that you notice them. Boy, isn't it a wonderful thing when God notices us. Fear not, Paul. All of a sudden, Paul's imagination, all of a sudden his will, all of a sudden his heart is beating within him because God has spoken to him personally, "You're going to be all right." I don't know about anybody else, but there's been a few times when the Lord said, "It's okay, Lawrence." And I'm sure some of you have had that same experience, that God would call your name. I'm not talking about an audible voice, you know that. I'm talking about He speaks to our heart, He speaks to our mind, and He calls our name. When all hope is gone, I'm glad the Lord is there. Paul may have thought even that all hope was gone because he says there that they had done everything that they could do. I'm sure Job in the Old Testament, when all the problems that came to Job, I'm sure he may have thought, "What's the use?" I know we have the whole story. We have from chapter 1 to chapter, I think, chapter 40. All the things that took place in Job's life. And Job despaired. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job was in a terrible condition. But he never lost his faith in the Lord. He says in chapter 19, with this we'll close, "All my inward friends abhor me." Verse 20 of chapter 19, "My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I escaped with the skin of my teeth." You ever heard that phrase? "I got out of that by the skin of my teeth." That comes from the book of Job. He said, my skin and my... I was just skin and bones. He says in verse number 23, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Job said, "I wish I could tell people how I feel." They're printed and they're written in a book. He says, that they were graven with iron pen and laid in a rock forever. And Job makes this statement next. Great, great statement. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." We have a song in our songbook about that. "And that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." Job pretty smart. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," after deterioration and decay has taken place, Job says, "yet in my flesh shall I see God." I believe Job had victory. I believe that already the Lord already told him, "Job, it's okay." And Job had long time before New Testament Scripture given of the resurrection. He said, "Though I die and I deteriorate and I decay in my flesh, I shall see God." We read that this morning in our Sunday school. New Testament teaching, 1 Thessalonians 4. "We that are dead in Christ shall be raised first. We that are alive and remain shall be called up to be with Him. Though the destruction comes to this body, I shall see God. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's the hope. That's the words of somebody that's in the storm and has seen the Deliverer. Just like Paul, just like Elijah, all of them. They were in the storm, all hope gone, but they knew the Deliverer. And they could say, this I know. Let's stand together this morning.